الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In addition to anger and envy that we have already talked about, another thing, a crippling disease that keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is very widespread and prevalent in us, and even in this month of Ramadan, this month of mercy, and this month of barakah, this month of extreme power, that thing is still very much prevalent inside of us, is this thing called ghaflat. And Ramadan Mubarak has the power to cure us of this disease. Ghaflat means two things. It means that a person is heedless or absent-minded or lazy. And number two, ghaflat means that a person is uncaring in the relationship with Allah. And the way we understand ghafla is by understanding its opposite. In Arabic they say that things are recognized and known by their opposites. So we understand ghafla by its opposite, which is zikr, the ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, just today I was reading this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which mentions that there are seven types of individuals who will be shaded by the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, when there will be no shade except the shade of Allah ta'ala's Arsh. And those seven types of individuals, all seven of them, if you look at the common theme that runs through those seven categories, is that they have this ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, one of the categories, one of the people, is a just ruler. Number two was a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Then two men who love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all seven of them, you will see that the dominant theme, one other category that is mentioned, is that when a man was called by a woman of beauty and position to commit some sin, but in response that person says that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the common theme that you find in all those seven types of individuals is this ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite of this ability, the opposite of remembrance, is ghafla, heedlessness. And about such people, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, this ayah, that ulaika kal an'am, they are like cattle, like animals, that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon them this gift, this ability to remember, to recognize me, but they don't use that ability. That's why they are like animals. Balhum adal. In fact, they're even worse than animals. Because Allah has given human beings this ability to remember Allah Ta'ala. They have this akal, this intellect, this rationality inside of them. And despite having this blessing, still they don't use this blessing to remember Allah. That's why they're even worse than animals. And why is Allah Ta'ala using such a strong and a stern language? Is because when a person becomes ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person becomes ghafil of the attributes of Allah, the zaat of Allah, the being of Allah, they become ghafil of the kalam of Allah, the book of Allah, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message of Allah, the likes of Allah, the wishes of Allah. When a person becomes ghafil and neglectful of all these things, then that person becomes distant from Allah. They become distant from Allah, and the extreme form of ghafla is that a person ends up in all kinds of sins. They end up in some degrees all the way up to kufr. So why is this such a severe illness? Because this is the root of all other diseases. It starts from this ghafla. When a person is neglectful of Allah Ta'ala, of the commands of Allah Ta'ala. That's why zikr and ghafla, it's like light and darkness. Only one of them is present. Either there is light inside the room or there is darkness. And this is so ajeeb that so much of our day, even in Ramadan, it passes by in heedlessness, in being absent-minded, in being neglectful, in being forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this life, this is the most important thing that we have. This is something on which everything will depend, this life of this world. So we have to remove this ghafla from our life. Remove this ghafla from our time. And each and every one of those seven categories in this hadith, they were people who were able to remove ghafla. You can't be a good ruler if you're not aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say no to a sin unless you have this awareness of Allah Ta'ala, your zakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's just not enough. We were speaking about sins that many of us might be engaged in, but before sins there is another thing, ghafla. Sometimes people are heedless, and that's what enables them to become sinful. And ghafla happens because we're so preoccupied with other things. We're so busy with other things that we forget that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that connection with Allah Ta'ala, the reason for our existence. So at a practical level, in this month of Ramadan, we have to take steps to reduce this heedlessness. We should try to voluntarily pick up some things, pick one thing in our deen, and then become obsessed with perfecting it. It's very difficult to become perfect overnight, but a person can start at a practical level to pick one thing. Maybe it can be their salah, or their dua, or their sajda, or their fatiha. One thing, and then we try to remove the ghafla from that one aspect of our life. And when a person does it, you will find a sense of achievement, that at least from this portion of my life, ghafla is gone. This neglect is gone. We may think that we are neglecting our spouses, or we are neglecting our children, or we are neglecting our studies. But the one being whom we are really definitely neglecting is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most neglected being in our lives. We have to remove this neglect. And it can start with one thing in our deen. You can draw the line somewhere, and a person can start. Because the beauty of the deen is that success is not the condition. Effort is. Success is not the goal. Effort to attain that success, that's the goal. So our tragedy is not that maybe we're not people of tahajjud, or we're not people of nafil fasting. The tragedy is that we don't have desire to do those things. We don't make that effort. And the reason why we don't make that effort is because we are ghafil. We don't have the remembrance. So we have to work on something, one thing, and then when we perfect one thing, then others will follow. We have to provide ourselves that environment in which ghafla can be, we can battle ghafla. And for that, all of us, we need sohbah. We need the company, good company. We need to surround ourselves with things that will remind us of the zikr of Allah. So we attend gatherings. That's the whole purpose of having these gatherings every night in Ramadan. That to give us that 30 or 40 minutes where we can put ourselves in that situation that we're just sitting and spending time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which will enable us to remember Allah throughout the day. And we need to surround ourselves with such sohbah. Maybe attend such gatherings in person or online. Read books, put ourselves in an environment where we're less likely to forget Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes simply putting up reminders of Allah Ta'ala in our room, calligraphy, some ayat, some tasbih, some musalla, a religious book on the desk. Even if you regularly don't read them, but your eyes fall on them, then maybe one day you'll pick that book and you'll start reading. On your PC, on your laptop, on your phones. People use it on the profile pictures and WhatsApp, social media. We have to give ourselves that environment. Because Islam is not a do-it-alone religion. All of us, we need those connectors that can help us, that can remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our previous generations, they were so guarding of their hearts. They were so watchful of their hearts, watchful of the zikr of Allah in their hearts, that they would used to say this in Persian, that jo dam ghafil, wo dam kafir, that whatever moment is spent in heedlessness, it's as if that person has spent that moment in unbelief. And if we hold ourselves on that level, then all of us should be terrified. So we have to remember Allah Ta'ala throughout. Otherwise, there's nothing significant about being a human being. The only thing that distinguishes us from animals is that we have this ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So practically, we have to use our time. And what this means is that some of you actually asked this question also, that how can a person start? What's the direct approach? The direct approach is just the opposite of ghafla, which is zikr. That a person increases their remembrance of Allah, that will decrease their ghafla. And the easiest way to start is to pick up our free time. That if a person has, let's say, 2 minutes or less, you do zikr of Allah in that time. You remember Allah Ta'ala in that time. You remember Allah Ta'ala, you're thinking about His Zaat, His Wujud, you're thinking about His Being, you're thinking about His Qurb, how intimately close to you Allah Ta'ala is. You can think about the Ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah is your intimate companion, that company and that intimacy that comes with this company. You can think about the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, that I'm thinking about Allah and Allah is thinking about me. So Allah Ta'ala is thinking about me by showering His mercy upon my heart. And this is really what we have to first work on our heart. If you look at the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, before the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, he would seclude himself in a cave, Ghar Hira. And he would spend some time there in worship, sometimes 2 days, sometimes 3 days, silence, solitude, seclusion, worship and remembrance. So many of us, we will not be able to go and live in a cave, and nor are we required to live in a cave, but what we are supposed to do is that in this world, whether we are studying or working or teaching, we need to be able to use our heart as a sanctuary where we can go in and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is very simple, that a person, while they're walking on the campus, we need to go inside our heart, make this niyat that, Ya Allah, I'm seeking refuge in my heart, that heart which is remembering you, that heart which is making dhikr of you. And then a person can be on campus, they can be in the market, but they make this niyat where they're focused on their heart. At a subliminal level, background level, they're connected with their heart, they're thinking about their heart, and their heart is making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're seeking refuge in that heart. It's like a cave. Their heart becomes like a cave, a sanctuary for them, where they reside, where their tawajjuh is, while they might be outwardly and apparently engaged in the dunya. That is what we have to do if we want to fight this ghafla, and especially if we want to fight the ghafla of the environment that we live in, which all the time is just trying to distract us away from Allah, trying to make us forgetful of Allah. Again, there is a story that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about in Surah Kahf, that there are some young men who were living in a society in which it was very difficult for them to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did they do? They sought refuge in a cave. So that's the lesson there, that if you find that environment to be difficult, you seek some kind of solitude, some seclusion, a place where you can think about Allah, where you can remember Allah, where you can obey Allah. And that's the niyat that we can actually make. That, Ya Allah, just like those young men, they sought refuge in a cave because they were not able to remember you in that society, because that society was so mukhalif, was so away from, distant from you. So, Ya Allah, in the same way, We are also living in this environment which is very difficult. However, we are going to take that, we want to seek refuge in that cave, the cave of our hearts. And Allah, that's my intention to you, that I'm focused on my heart and my heart is making dhikr of you in any way. Whether your heart is saying Allah, 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 or your heart is thinking about Allah's company, Allah's intimacy. But I'm seeking refuge in my heart, that heart which is remembering you. And that would be a protective shield for us. So if you find yourself that you have such minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or less, then we need to sprinkle our day with these 2 minutes of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're waiting for someone, you find this time, you go into your heart, reside in your heart, that heart which is remembering Allah. Maximize these pockets. Usually what happens is that we daydream, we waste these pockets away. And if you use these pockets, you will start remembering Allah Ta'ala in these pockets. You will see that there are so many times throughout the day, you will be able to find such pockets. And if you fill those pockets with Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, then inshallah, when you put yourself inside ibadah, there'll be more remembrance. Because those pockets you are remembering Allah Ta'ala outside of ibadah, formal ibadah. So that will help you to attain dhikr inside your ibadah. And then secondly, if you know that you're going to be busy for a long time, then before you start that activity, just remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for a few minutes. Like you say in Urdu, the tar jordana, that you connect your wire, connect your heart to Allah Ta'ala again with that same intention, that again you focus your intention, focus your awareness on your heart, and you make niyat that your heart is remembering Allah Ta'ala, your heart is making dhikr of Allah's name. And for a few moments, for a few minutes, you just try to connect to Allah Ta'ala, you remember Allah Ta'ala through the dhikr of your heart. And then once you feel that you're connected, then you start your activity. And that could be anything, a dini activity, a dunyavi activity, but you begin. And then after every little time, you can just keep checking your heart. And if you feel that, maybe let's say you check your heart after 15 minutes, you check your heart and you see, and if you find that you're ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then again take 5-10 seconds out, and take some those 5-10 seconds to remember Allah ta'ala, to connect back to Allah Ta'ala. And this is the way you do all your activities. It's very easy, very simple, but the most beautiful thing about this activity would be that your activity itself will be drowned in the zikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You will be thinking about Allah Ta'ala throughout that activity. And sometimes what will happen is that you will begin to remember Allah Ta'ala even without thinking. This is very beautiful, because when you're doing this regularly for a few days, once this becomes your habit, then you might just be sitting somewhere, maybe in a class or maybe driving, and all of a sudden your heart will remember Allah Ta'ala. You weren't forcing your heart to remember Allah, but the heart itself was activated, was charged, and without thinking your heart will be remembering Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Just like sometimes we think of a friend suddenly, all of a sudden you're just thinking about your friend, you're remembering your friend. Exactly in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He becomes your friend, you will be thinking about Allah ta'ala sometimes suddenly. So this is, we have to fight this ghafla. We have to fight this attitude. Sometimes we use these words that I'm lazy, that's why I'm lazy by nature, I'm lazy a person. Well, it's not about lazy, it's about our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. A person can be caring in the relationship with Allah, or they can be uncaring about the relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Laziness is just an excuse that we use. It's about our caring, it's about how we care about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So we need to strive, we need to make that mujahida in order to remove this ghafla. And Allah Ta'ala has said this in Quran, that وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. than any there is nothing that a person will be able to get except that for which he strives for. So that no human being is going to get anything, whether it's something of the dunya or something in the deen, whether it's something in a relationship with makhluk, or whether it's some becoming closer to Allah Ta'ala and remembering Allah Ta'ala. Illa ma sa'a, except that he must make effort. She must make that effort. It's the only way. We have to make that effort in remembering Allah. Now, if I told you that without studying you will be able to get your undergraduate degree, you'll say, no way. If I tell you that without studying you will be able to get ilm, you will say, no way. If I say that you can study mathematics without numbers, you will say, no way. If I say you can study history without dates, you will say, no way. Exactly in the same way, you know, can you become close to Allah Ta'ala without remembering Allah Ta'ala? No way. It's that simple. Can you become the lover of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and the beloved of Allah Ta'ala without thinking about Allah Ta'ala? No way. So we should think that this is our real illness. This is my wake-up call. That what has happened to me, that I've allowed myself to become so unthinking, so uncaring about my relationship with Allah, that these huge chunks of time pass by where I'm not even thinking about Allah Ta'ala. How could I exist without not thinking about Allah Ta'ala? How could I be ever happy in my life without Allah Ta'ala? That's the most important relationship. That's the most important being in my life. The most important project of my life. And this is something that we get in Ramadan, alhamdulillah. Among the different barakat of Ramadan, this month of Ramadan has so much built into it, and one thing that you find in this month of Ramadan is ibadat. There's so much ibadat that is just built into Ramadan. When you fast, that's ibadat. If you're fasting, for example, let's say from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, that's many hours. It's 14 hours. 14 hours of continuous ibadah. Never outside of Ramadan were you able to do any ibadah of any kind for 14 hours. In this month, Allah Ta'ala gave us a type of ibadah called fasting. That you were continuously for 14 hours. That's going to have an effect on your heart. And as the days will go by, your ability to do more ibadah is going to increase. It's going to grow more and more and more, inshallah. Similarly, Taraweeh. Those who pray Taraweeh prayers, they stand in the night for 1.5 hours of ibadah. Now you're up to 14 plus 1.5, that's 15.5 hours of ibadah. Allahu Akbar. Then you have these two special times of suhoor and iftar. There are people who are going to eat suhoor and iftar by making dua to Allah. And you can make a niyat that you're eating suhoor, that is sunnah meal. So now that time you can include that also in your ibadah. That's up to 16 hours, 17 hours of ibadah. And after that, you normally sleep for 6 hours a day. So 17 plus 6, 23 hours. Allahu Akbar. Sleep is also ibadat in Ramadan. Because you're sleeping with this niyat that you want to charge yourself. So Allah Ta'ala brings us in Ramadan to about 23 out of 24 hours of pure ibadah. If you sleep at the end of the day, in which you do not do any sin that day, and your niyat is that when you sleep, you want to wake up and not do any sin the next day, that sleeping is also written as ibadat. So alhamdulillah. Normally, for most of us, due to the barakah of this month of Ramadan, due to this heightened awareness of Allah Ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, we don't do sin in this month. And when we sleep, what is our niyat? Our niyat is also that we want to wake up and do ibadah. When we sleep with the niyat that I want to wake up and for suhoor, for ibadah, for dua. I want to fast the entire day tomorrow, ibadah. So in Ramadan, the 6-7 hours of sleeping, that's also ibadah. So just through your fasting and through your taraweeh, you can get 23 out of 24 hours of ibadah. And that 1 hour that is remaining, now that's the question, what do you do with that? So spend that 1 hour in nafil ibadah every day. You can reach 24 hours of ibadah. It's the easiest time it ever be in your life to do nafil ibadah. This is this month of Ramadan. If you're already doing something for 23 hours a day, doing it for 1 hour or 2 hours, it's going to be very, very easy. So it's the easiest month in your life that you can connect to Quran, you can connect to dua, you can make istighfar. Easiest month to start reciting durood and salawat. So if a person hasn't been doing their ma'mulat, their daily regimen, this is the easiest month for a person to begin, for a person to shed their laziness, shed their ghafla. Easy to read Quran in this month, easy to make dua in this month, easy to make istighfar in this month, easy to recite durood and salawat, blessings and peace on the Prophet ﷺ in this month. This durood, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that Allah sends durood on the Prophet ﷺ. The malaika send durood on the Prophet ﷺ. So ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That all you who believe, you should also send durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. So we have to fight ghafla. And even in that time that we are fasting for 14 hours, we have to keep watching our heart. One is that you're fasting, that fast itself is ibadah. But we also need to be watchful that our heart is also aware of Allah Ta'ala. Our heart is also making dhikr of Allah. And for that we mentioned that you use your free time. And you can, whenever you're into any activity, you start that activity by connecting your heart to Allah Ta'ala. It's about watching your heart, making your heart aware of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and being aware of your heart. That heart which is doing remembering Allah Ta'ala. That's the key in this month. That's the mizaj which Quran is trying to create inside of us. So many places Allah Ta'ala has linked this zikr with the qalb. That zikr happens inside a person's heart. It doesn't happen, you can be engaged in the world with your hands, with your tongue, with your mind. But the heart has to be reserved for the zikr, for the remembrance of Allah. And we need to be watching, watchful of our hearts. Quran is not an academic book, it's not a piece of literature, it's not a piece of philosophy, it's a book which creates a mizaj inside of a human being. And we have to make our mizaj, we have to make our temperament according to the Quran. So in this month of Ramadan, it's the easiest month for a person to fight their ghafla. So whatever time person has, they should do, maximize on their ibadah. You should read Quran, you should do istighfar, recite durood, make dua, make zikr. But throughout the day, keep a watch on your heart. Throughout the day, keep a watch on your heart. And make sure that your heart keeps a watch on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the mercy of Ramadan. That is the purpose of Ramadan. Again, Ramadan is not to learn how to stay away from food and drink. It's learn how not to stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to learn how to stay away from food and drink, but it's to never again to stay away from Quran, from the dua, from zikr. That is the purpose, that is the maqsad, that is the goal of the month of Ramadan. And if you make Ramadan with that niyat, then by the end of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala can accept us, Allah Ta'ala will accept us among His ibad, among His worshipper, among His ibadus salihin, amongst His righteous pious. That's the purpose of Ramadan. The beginning is the fast, and the end, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is so much power in Ramadan that the end of Ramadan is the highest level of wilayat. After Nabuwat comes wilayat, friendship. After the Anbiya, Quran says they are the awliya. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. That the awliya of Allah who have no fear and no huzn. So this is dalil. And Allah Ta'ala is saying in Quran that the whole purpose of fasting is la'allakum tattaqun. So that you can become a person of taqwa. And then elsewhere Allah Ta'ala says, then in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun. That who are the people of taqwa except for, who are the awliya except for the people of taqwa. So that's why Ramadan can lead a person to wilayah. That's the power of this month of Ramadan. So we have to dream big in Ramadan. We haven't thought about Ramadan. People, illa mashallah, they don't think about Ramadan in such a way. We have our dreams that I want to become an accountant. I want to become a doctor. I want to become a professor. I want to become an engineer. I want to become a lawyer. People have dreams. That's what all these modern management people tell you. Dream big. No one has thought that I want to become Allah wala. That's what we should think. The Ramadan is the month to dream big about your deen. Ramadan is the month to reach for the stars when it comes to the deen of Islam. We should have those du'as during the day, during the night. Ya Allah, I want to become yours. Mange. And just to remind all of us that what is dreaming big in our deen. So if you look at the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, Allahu Akbar Kabira, the maqam, the martabah, the shan that Allah Ta'ala gave to them, then what would they have felt when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala blessed them with that maqam? So at the end, I'm just going to mention 12 or 13 statements that are mentioned in different ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Different ahadith mentioning about different Sahaba Ikram and their state in Allah. Their state, their qubuliyya, their acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person can imagine what must they be thinking, what must they be feeling when they were addressed by the Prophet ﷺ in such words, where the Prophet ﷺ gave them bashara, gave them glad tidings that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. So first there is a Sahabi by the name of Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In one hadith the Prophet ﷺ said to him that, O Mu'ad, I swear by Allah that I love you. Allahu Akbar. What must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger said to him that, O Mu'ad, wallahi, I swear by Allah that I love you. You have to put yourself in that zone. Imagine putting yourself in that place and feeling and listening to those words by the Prophet ﷺ. And then what would you have, what would you feel? What would Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal be feeling when he heard such words by the Prophet that he was the beloved of Rasulullah? This is the kind of insan, human being, that Allah Ta'ala wants us to become like. This is what it means that you dream big. That I want to become this kind of individual. That kind of individual who has this ability to listen, has this ability to become an embodiment of such words, where the Prophet ﷺ said that I swear by Allah that I love you. And the next is another Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And once the Prophet ﷺ embraced him and said that, O Allah, teach him the knowledge of the book. Teach him the knowledge of Quran. Again, imagine what must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have embraced him and said to him and made this dua to Allah that Allahumma, O Allah, teach him the knowledge of the Quran. How happy, what incredible feelings and emotions he would have felt in his heart to be able to listen to such words and such du'as of the Prophet ﷺ for him. This is what it means to dream big, that a person can become the recipient of such du'as of the Prophet ﷺ. Then next is the story about the conquest of Khaybar, where the Prophet ﷺ said that tomorrow I will give this flag to a man through whose hands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us victory in this battle. And that person to whom I will give this flag, that person, he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, and he is loved by Allah ta'ala and his messenger. And then the next day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this flag to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imagine what must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, knowing that yesterday the Prophet ﷺ said that I'll give this flag to someone whose hands Allah will give us victory, and that individual, he loves Allah and his Rasul, and he's loved by Allah and his Rasul. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is what it means to dream big in the deen of Islam. That you've become such an individual where the Prophet ﷺ is testifying that this person loves Allah and his messenger, and he is loved by Allah and his messenger. Then, next example, another Sahabi by the name of Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the Battle of Uhud. The Prophet ﷺ was being defended by Sayyidina Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ was very happy with him. And once in that battle, the Prophet ﷺ took out a quiver of arrows and gave it to Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said to him that, shoot, O Sa'd, shoot, fidaka abi wa ummi. Let my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu on that day of Uhud when he would have heard these words from the Prophet ﷺ? O Sa'd, shoot, fidaka abi wa ummi, let my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Then next example, Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the time for Tabuk expedition when the Muslims were preparing their army. And at this, in this event, Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave so much money, so much wealth to support the Muslim army, to support this Tabuk expedition, that the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and said to him, that whatever Usman does after today will not affect him. That whatever Usman does after today will not cause harm to him. Allahu Akbar. Yani, he has gotten so much qubuliyah from Allah that Allah is well pleased with him. What must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time when he would have heard these words from the Prophet sallallahu Then there is another Sahabi by the name of Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was gifted with a very melodious voice and he used to recite Quran in a very beautiful voice. And once the Prophet ﷺ said to him in the morning that, had you seen me listening to your recitation last night, you would have felt very good. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that you have been blessed with a voice like that of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately replied and said that, Ya Rasulullah, if I knew you were listening, I would have recited even better. Again, put yourself in that zone, put yourself in that zamana, that must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Sayyidina Rasulullah said to him in the morning that, had you seen me listening to your recitation last night, you would have felt good. You have been blessed with a voice like that of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Then about the Ansar of Madina Munawwara, once the Prophet ﷺ said to them that if the people took their way through a valley or a mountain pass, I would select the valley or mountain pass of the people of Ansar, of the Ansar. The Ansar are Shi'ar. They are like those clothes which you are in direct contact with. And this is hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. The Prophet ﷺ praised the Ansar that if they were to take their way through any valley, any mountain pass, I would select their path. Because they are Shi'ar, they are those clothes which are in direct contact with my body. They're with me and I'm with them. And imagine again what must have been the feeling of the Ansar when they would have heard this from Sayyidina Rasulullah. Similarly about the Ansar, the Prophet ﷺ said, the love for the Ansar is a sign of Iman, and hatred for the Ansar is a sign of Nifaq, is a sign of hypocrisy. Imagine being an Ansari Sahabi and listening to these words of the Prophet ﷺ. The love for the Ansar is a sign of Iman. For people to come, for the whole Ummah to come, loving the Ansar is a sign of Iman. And bughuz for the Ansar is a sign for hypocrisy. What must have been their feelings? How ajeeb would have been their kafiyat when they would have heard these words of the Prophet ﷺ about them? And what must have been the feeling of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu when the Prophet ﷺ said to him that, Law kuntu, if I were to choose a Khalil, I would have definitely chosen Abu Bakr as my Khalil. Allahu Akbar. These are the Sahaba Ikram. This was their maqam. This was the izzat, the shan that Allah Ta'ala had given to them. That's about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imagine feeling such words, how Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq would have felt when he would have listened to these words. That the Messenger of Allah, the Mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that if I were to choose a friend, I would have chosen Abu Bakr as my friend. Then what must have been the feeling of Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha when once she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Man ahabba nasu ilayka, said, which of the people among people who is most beloved to you? And the Prophet ﷺ replied and said, Aisha, replied with her name. What must have been her feeling to listen to the reply, knowing that the question is that which one of all the people is most beloved to you? And then one last example. How amazing will be the feeling when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger, Sayyidina Rasulullah will say to us when we meet him that you are my brothers, you were people, you were among my ummah, those who had iman in me, although you never saw me. There is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he said that I wish I could meet my ahibba, my brothers. And the Sahaba said that, are we not your ahibba? And the Prophet ﷺ said that you are my Sahaba, but my ikhwan, my brothers, are those who have iman in me, although they never saw me. Imagine how amazing would be that feeling when Sayyidina Rasulullah will say to us, inshallah, when we meet him, that you are my brothers and those who had faith in me, although you never saw me. This is the deen of Islam. This is what the month of Ramadan is, that you dream big in this month. We should beg Allah Ta'ala for this month that, Ya Allah, I want to become this kind of human being. I want to become this kind of intimate friend. I also want to become this kind of lover. That is the purpose of this month of Ramadan. So may Allah Ta'ala accept all of us to spend a Ramadan with this niyat, with this intention that we want to spend this month of Ramadan to change ourselves. We want to spend this month of Ramadan to purify ourselves. Want to spend this month of Ramadan to purify ourselves of this ghafla that we have towards Allah Ta'ala. And we want to spend this Ramadan trying and striving to attain the friendship, the wilaya of Allah Ta'ala, to attain qurb of Allah Ta'ala, to attain this taluq with Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept this dua from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحان ربي العظيم وحمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.